a.m. in Montreal.
For CGLO News, I'm Serena Abuljud. On Tuesday, September 9, Israeli occupation forces airdropped a massive amount of leaflets on Palestinians in Gaza City, demanding the full evacuation of the region. This comes after Israel revealed it intends to demolish all of Gaza City in an attack to take down Hamas. The Israeli military ordered residents to move to Al-Masawi area, which is already overcrowded with thousands of displaced people sheltering in tents. Palestinians in Gaza City are now left stranded amidst the rubble, with nowhere safe to go, as Israel continues to regularly bomb the south. Health authorities in Gaza announced that they will not be evacuating Gaza City's two main operational hospitals, stressing that doctors will not abandon their patients. Gaza City is home to around 1 million Palestinians, and as of Wednesday, less than 10% have evacuated the area. Since October 7, 2023, Israel has killed more than 64,000 Palestinians in Gaza. Activists and coalitions across Canada protested in front of Canada Revenue Agency offices across the country between September 2nd and September 5th. Their demand was to stop allowing Canadian charitable donations to subsidize war crimes and the genocide in Palestine. Just Peace Advocates, an independent Canadian human rights group, released an analysis based on charity filings from 2024, exposing seven organizations for sending donations to entities deeply complicit in the occupation and bombing campaigns against Palestinian civilians. Activists highlighted Revenue Agency's failure to enforce its own laws, as these funds violate both the Income Tax Act and the War Crimes and Crimes Against Humanity Act. They still haven't taken any action against these violations and continue to make Canadian taxpayers unknowingly implicated in genocide. That being said, many other charities such as Mizrachi and United Israel Appeal did not file their 2024 returns. This is raising more questions surrounding the entire funding of illegal Israeli activities. The head of the Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador, Francis Viropol, is pleading for the Quebec government to drop Bill 97, an act proposing to modernize the forest regime. The new proposed system consists of splitting public lands into three equally sized zones. That includes one protected area, one area for industry to develop, and one area for mixing public lands with lands for development. Since the tabling of Bill 97 back in April, First Nations have been protesting against it. Indigenous groups and leaders are saying the act gives the forestry industry the right to complete their operations without consulting them, which threatens Indigenous title rights and sovereignty. They warned that the changes are prioritizing logging over the long-term health of the ecosystem, which could get in the way of the preservation of their traditional ways of life, cultures, and languages. They also emphasized their concern with the potential acceleration of forest degradation. Last week, Minister of Indigenous Affairs, Ian Lafrenière, implied that many changes will be made to the amendment. Minister of Natural Resources and Forests, Maite Blanchette-Vézina, who has been receiving backlash for putting industrial interests above all else in her new bill, said that her ministry's team of lawyers are willing to sit down with the Assembly of First Nations to make sure that all the terms and elements in the amendment that spark concern would be avoided. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Good afternoon and happy Sunday, everyone. My name is Jade and I'm your host here at Love Actually Needs Work. And we have a very fun episode in store for you today. We're going to be dating through the decades and discussing the differences in dating, romance, and love from the 1950s all the way to now in 2025. I'll also be playing a love song from each of the eras just so we can take a look at how the representation of love not only changed through the words and actions of people, but also in music and the arts. I'm joined today by my friend Zach, who will be giving us his opinions along the way. And we're also joined by Raha. You guys want to say hi?
Yeah, sure. Hi. I'm interested in seeing if I actually want to go back in time at all or if now's good.
I think we might want to take a little step back in time. Yeah. I don't know if we're like, I don't know. I like the sentiment of the 50s, mm-hmm. but as a woman, I don't know that I like the 50s.
Wouldn't it be the brightest time?
Yeah, maybe not for that. But yeah, so we have a jam-packed episode today. For those of you who are new, since it's only our second episode, Love Actually Needs Work is a dating advice show with a focus on the differences between more traditional forms of dating and then modern dating. So we aim to explore the reasons behind these changes through conversations with expert guests and also just people who are experiencing it right now in this day and age. So without further ado, let's jump right into the episode. So we're going to start in the 50s, which I like to think it's maybe the decade of chivalry a little bit. I don't know.
Kind of agree with that.
I feel like dating in the 50s was very much characterized by formal dating rituals with like men initiating dates and then women expected to kind of be like polite and prompt. Like gender roles were a very, very big thing in the 50s. I don't know. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's like pretty recently that the gender roles had kind of get a bit softened maybe. But definitely in the 50s, it was like way bolder.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like also you didn't date without a serious intention. I feel like in the 50s, you were very much when you were dating, there was like serious intent behind it. There was a sort of like exclusivity. And like the term going steady comes to mind. That seemed to be a very common thing. So yeah, I don't know. It was just, I feel like it was a decade of relationships and everything. And oddly enough, because I was talking, you know, to some people who are from this decade and also doing some research and everything, the era also very much seemed to feature societal expectations for like punctuality, parental approval of partners, like having relationships that are geared more towards marriage, especially for like young adults preparing for like a traditional family life. I feel like now, I don't think I've ever been on a first date where the man has come to my house and met my mother.
That
would be an extreme first date. And also, just going back, I don't know. Yes, it does sound great in the 50s that men would lead the way and maybe show up with a bouquet of flowers or something.
Yeah.
But
that's the dream.
I think beyond the outside dating, what was the relationship like between the man and the woman in the home?
Probably not great.
Yeah.
Like, probably not great.
Were the flowers worth the many years to follow?
Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. But we're specifically right now talking about the dating portion of it. But you are correct, Zach. But yeah, I don't know. I just think there's something to be said about the intention behind dating. And although like Zach is correct in that a lot of these relationships back then ended up being very, I guess, abusive for like women, whether that would be like emotionally or physically, it's just very different than today. Like, obviously, I think that's without a doubt. Also like group activities and double dates seem to be a really common thing in the 50s. And I feel like, Zach, what's that face?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen that in the movie, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like
it was surprising to me also.
Yeah, no, me as well. But apparently in like the 50s and 60s, like group dates out to like, oh, this is gonna sound so weird, the Hop.
Is that like the milkshakes and stuff?
Yeah, the Hop, I guess, was just like a place where
Did you find your facts in like an Archie's comic book?
No, I swear this is what people called it. I'm using 1950s terms. No, I didn't get it in an Archie's comic. Yeah, no, it just like group dates were a big thing, and I feel like now they're absolutely not. So yeah, I think with all of that being said, we're going to jump into our first song of the episode. This song is one of my favorites, and maybe you guys have heard of it before. It's called Only You by The Platters, one of the biggest songs. I think it came out in 1955. It was crazy. So we're gonna take a minute and listen to that, and then we will be right back.
I'm gonna pull you in close, gonna wrap you up. Only you can make all this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only you and you alone. Only you.
reaching me. For it's true, you are my destiny. When do you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you. Only you can make of this change in me. For it's true, you are my destiny. When you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only.
All right, that was Only You by The Platters from 1955. I think that still stands as one of my favorite songs. Like, it's such a beautiful love song. Could you imagine a man singing that about you or a woman singing that about you?
Pretty rare these days.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful thing. We're going to hop into the 60s now, which I think, based on the research I was doing, relatively, and no, Zach, it was not from an Archie's comic, relatively similar to the 50s in a lot of ways. I think definitely there was like a mixture of this traditional kind of supervised courtship, but we also saw a little bit of casual dating emerge as the era started to progress, which I think prominently was influenced by, you know, this idea of social change and sexual liberation and everything that occurred later in the 60s. But there were also a lot of chaperoned group activities. How do you guys feel about that? Like, how would you feel about going on a chaperone date?
With, like, a parent following you?
Yeah, just like a chaperone of any kind on your date. How would that make you guys feel? I'm curious.
For me, it's like how often that chaperone was with you in your usual life also.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if they were with you all the time, then you wouldn't feel weird going on a date with them either, because at some point you just learn to ignore them. But if they're only there on the date, it feels weird.
What do you think, Zach? I can see your face scrunching up.
Well, I just don't know of a situation where someone is constantly following you, so I couldn't, like, relate to the idea.
They're just, like, there.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I guess I feel like there's a reason behind a chaperone following you. They're probably attempting to stop you from doing things that they think you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
So I feel like, especially if that's like teenagers or stuff going on dates, it's a bit more uncomfortable or a bit more unconventional.
Yeah, I think too, because at this point in time, right, like, premarital sex was, you know, kind of advised against, and that was not something that people were wanting to engage with prior to marriage. But I think because, you know, they were like, oh, you can't have sex before marriage, there was this very, like, intense societal pressure to get married. I don't know. Do you guys agree? The gears are turning. I feel like there was. I don't know. Because we're all human beings, right? Like, we have needs and everything. So imagine you're dating someone. It's like, you can't do that. Because if you do that, especially as a woman, right, everyone is going to look at you in a different way. Yeah. Like, at this point in time, they're going to look at you in a different way. They're going to think differently of you. There's going to be an immense amount of judgment placed on you. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would imagine that you would feel pressured to then enter a marriage so that, one, you could be perceived positively by society, and then also engage in certain things. Because I feel like there was this stigma for mm-hmm. women around not being married. It's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Right? True. Why are you not married? Why does no one want you? Like, I feel like that was a very big thing in the 50s and 60s, although it was really just like women wanting, you know, to love themselves and find the right person and all these different things, but they were looked at really differently.
I feel like the idea of marrying someone just to be intimate with them is...
No, not solely, but that had to play a part, don't you think?
Yeah, I feel like that did rush, or probably has rushed people in the past to get married. But my opinion, I would not marry someone before I know what I'm working with.
Oh, wow, thanks for that, Zach.
And put it on a bag. Sell some merch.
Sell some merch. Yeah. I'm not marrying you till I know what I'm working with. That's, yeah, no, certainly. I think now that also forced people to get married a lot younger, right? Because mm-hmm. I have a few friends now that are married or engaged or, you know, in very, like, long-term relationships. But that's not a commonality mm-hmm. for nowadays. Like, a lot of women, including myself, intend to get married, like, much later in life. Whether that be their 30s, their 40s, mm-hmm. their 50s, like even some people are finding like love for the first time in their 80s, right? But there was this kind of pressure to get married and then also remain married. Like you hear of couples from like the 50s and the 60s, they're like, I've been together for like 73 years, right? You hear of like couples in the last, you know, decade or two, and it's like they've been through 3 or 4 divorces already. Like I wonder... Well, I both wonder, then I think I maybe know a little bit of like why the marriage was so long lasting. I think because people were like willing to put in the work back then to sustain the marriage rather than just like, you know, there also wasn't as much accessibility, right? Yeah. Because technology wasn't around back then.
I also think people probably didn't get divorced because of the stigma in society and just even... you know, getting divorced, and then that is like probably as frowned upon as having premarital sex. So
yeah.
I think there was a stigma around it, and that's probably maybe why people stay together. I've also often heard of people staying together and then living separately mm-hmm. back then because they didn't want to get divorced or couldn't get divorced. There could also be things to do with the church that didn't allow people to get divorced, so they stayed together and kind of worked it out, but had to do unconventional ways to stay together.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're gonna dive into our next song here. This is Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. Came out in 1967. Again, one of my favorites. I know it's one of my mom's favorites as well. So we're gonna dive right into that.
Days when the rains came down in the hollow, playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with our hearts a thumping, and you, a brown eyed girl. And whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow, gone down the old mine with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding high the rainbow's wall, slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl. We used to sing sha la 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 la, just like that. Sha la 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 just the other day. My, you have grown. Cast my memory back there a lot. Sometimes I'm overcome thinking about making love in the green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown eyed girl. You, my brown eyed girl. Do you remember when we used to sing? Sha la la.
Pop Montreal is back for its 24th edition. From September 24th to 28th, come experience the best festival in the city, as Plateau Montréal becomes lit up with shows featuring so many CJLO favorites like No Joy, US Girls, Chanel Beads, Isabella Love Story, Do Make Say Think, Hand Habits, Joseph Chabasun, and so many more. On top of concerts, join us for the Pop Symposium featuring discussions on all the music industry related hot topics. You can also check out Art Pop, Film Pop, and Comedy Pop for more events happening all throughout the festival. Don't wait, festival passes and individual tickets for Pop Montreal are available now on popmontreal.com.
I once had a dream that I was eating a peanut butter and tuna fish sandwich, and let me tell you something, it was delicious. So the next day, I decided to make that sandwich. And in real life, it is disgusting. It is a disgusting sandwich. And the reason I tell you this story, pick up the phone, just.
Hi, this is Dreamscapes, and we want to eat that disgusting sandwich because we're a show about dreams, and we don't think that dream sandwich is disgusting at all. So, you should be calling us to tell us about your dreams and your dream sandwiches. And if you do want to call in, the number's 514-848-7471. And we're on CJLO Mondays at 4 p.m. And we don't think your dream is weird at all. It sounds really good, actually.
Hi, it's Chapel Brown, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
My mama said nothing good happens when it's late and you dance alone.
All right, guys, we're back, and I think now we're going to dive into the 70s. Romance in the 70s, I feel like, was a mix of where you started shifting from these traditional roles to newer freedoms. Dating was obviously a face-to-face interaction at this point. Phone calls, shared activities, like going to roller rinks or things like that. But it was also kind of like the free love era that was continuing from like the mid to late 60s, which I think led to a more casual relationship. There was definitely a rise in that, and like non-exclusive partnerships, which I think something that we refer to today as polygamy or things like that. But there was definitely still this kind of societal expectation that the courtship duties, for lack of better words, fell on men. Like, men were still primarily expected to like make the first move, even though women were like starting to, right? There was this just overarching expectation. This is when I think of the 70s and like, you know, all the movies that I watched from the 70s, I think of men making like a mixtape full of songs that their like girlfriend loves and just like giving it to her. And I think that's so romantic and thoughtful. And now people will just make you like a playlist on Apple Music, which is nice. But I fear that it doesn't have the same kind of vibe that goes with it. But also this kind of term of like hanging out with someone was introduced in the 1970s with this rise of casual relationships, which acted kind of as a precursor to what we know as like, do you want to Netflix and chill? Like that was kind of the 70s Netflix and chill, I guess. So definitely a rise in like physical based relationships due to like, you know, the sexual and social liberation that was happening at the time. But also something that I found out that I thought was kind of interesting was that there was actually singles publications in newspapers to allow you to find a partner. Yeah, I guess it was like the dating app before the dating app.
More like Craigslist.
Yeah, it kind of was like Craigslist a little bit. But it was, yeah, so you would like put out an ad if you were looking for a partner in a newspaper. And people would like pick up the newspaper, read it. They would see your number. And if they liked the picture of you that was included, and I guess your little bio or whatever, then they would call you. And so, yeah, it was kind of like dating apps, or I guess Craigslist if you're going with Zach's line of thinking, before there was actually that around. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because I never knew about that.
Well, I knew about that, but I wonder how many decent people were using it, if it was not just creepy old men,
that,
you know,
too,
riding silver-haired fox looking for a young gal.
I don't know that, but you do bring up a good point about like the creepiness surrounding it, because literally anyone could pick up a newspaper, get your number, then just come find you, I guess.
I mean, get your number. There was Yellow Pages. People could get anyone's number anytime.
Yeah, but they could get a photo and a little blurb about you associated with it, which wasn't, like, super common.
I also wonder how many people were using that as, like, a prank on someone. You know, call this number and then it's Bart Simpson.
You don't
on
think
the line.
You don't think people were actually using it to, like, find love?
No, well...
No?
Well, there's the creepy, and then there's the prank, and then I'm certain there's love somewhere
right,
in there.
Right, so you're splitting up into thirds then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well...
Also, what you didn't mention is...
What?
The use of marijuana and all kinds of drugs in the 70s. I think that was probably very liberating
for
people.
Well, I said the free love era. That kind of, it encompasses the substance use that was occurring back then. So with that being said, we're going to jump into our song for this era, which is You're Having My Baby by Paul Anka. It was released in 1974. I had only discovered this song like a couple of years ago, actually, which feels a little crazy, but I like it. So with that being said, we're going to jump right into You're Having My Baby.
You're having my baby. What a lovely way of saying how much you love me. You're having my baby. What a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it.
I can see it.
Faces glowing. Can see it in your eyes, and I'm happy in knowing that you're having my baby. You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you. You're having my baby. You're the woman I love, and I love what's going through. The need inside you, I see it showing. Oh, the seed inside you, woman, do you feel it growing? Are you happy in knowing that you're having my baby?
I'm a woman.
Have to keep.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't put you through it. You could have swept it from your life, but you wouldn't do it. Said you wouldn't do it.
No.
And you're having my baby. It's another way of
Okay, that was You're Having My Baby by The Paul Anka. What did you guys think of that song?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
We were saying on the break, we were like, oh, imagine if you got pregnant and then your husband started singing you that song. Yeah, baby. How would you react? And Raha said I would tell him to shut up. All right, well, on that note, we're going to move into the 80s now. Romance in the 80s seemed to be characterized by definitely another reliance on face-to-face interaction, phone calls, in-person dates. But I feel like there was less formality and a greater emphasis on publicly, like, acknowledged committed relationships before becoming sexual. And I feel like, obviously, in the absence of, like, the internet and smartphones, people relied on traditional methods of connection, like meeting through friends, attending events, like, oh my God, waiting for a letter. I don't know if they did that in the 80s, but I would like someone to send me a letter nowadays. But yeah, it just seemed to be less formal, I think, because maybe there were other things to focus on.
Or like less social pressures, I guess. Like from the culture, from the families, maybe. Because, like, when you go back to, like, the 60s or the 50s, it's mostly, like, arranged marriages or
that
stuff
too,
like that.
Yeah.
That comes up because of a family or the culture. But in the 80s, it's kind of less. They have more things. They have more time to spare for themselves, maybe.
Yeah. It was also, like, women could go to work now.
Yeah.
Women could, make their own money. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to rely on a man to support them, right? Like, they could go to work. They could make their own money, mm-hmm. have their own life. And so I feel like that deterred a lot of women from being like, oh, I have to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, I can be in a relationship,
yeah.
but I don't have to be in a relationship. You know, I can't speak for men, but but I will speak for women, because I think that was definitely mm-hmm. a factor that played into it.
And I think it's made it easier for them to say no.
That too.
Because, like, again, going back to the 60s or the 50s, if someone wanted to marry you from the family, like, coming from outside, you wouldn't have the chance to say no,
I guess.
Yeah. It would be a stigma around it.
Yeah.
But then women had the chance to say no, so I think that also opened up a bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to dive into a song from the 80s. It's called Straight From the Heart by Bryan Adams. Came out in 1983. I'm going to be so real with everyone. I just discovered this song like last week, but it's actually really good and I like it a lot. So I think you guys will like it too. And without further ado, we're going to get into Straight From the Heart by Bryan Adams.
I could start dreaming, but it never ends. As long as you're gone, we may as well pretend. I've been dreaming straight from the heart. You say we
All right, that was Straight from the Heart by Bryan Adams. And with that, we're going to jump right into the 90s. The 90s, I feel like it was characterized by a slower paced communication because they relied on landlines and snail mail and early email and all of these different things, which fostered a sense of anticipation and effort in getting to know someone, which I kind of love. I feel like nowadays, like, everybody's so accessible to us most of the time, and there's so many people that are accessible to us, like, basically all the time, right? But in the 90s, like, you had to wait. You had to wait for someone to return your call. You had to, like, wait to see someone. Like, there was this sense of just anticipation that was built up, and I felt like it maybe made the date more rewarding when you actually went on it, right? It was like, wow, I've been really excited for this. Whereas now it's like, oh, I talk to you every day anyways. So, like, do I really need to see you? Because we just spoke like 2 hours ago, kind of thing. So I really like that. And yeah, I mean, like, there was not, people were not forming like these kind of instant digital connections at this point in time, right? So there was definitely like a cultural emphasis on emotional depth and authentic connection, which I think we saw reflected in a lot of this era's movies and music, like a 90s rom-com. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, guys. a 90s or a 2000s rom-com is what I wish for my love life.
Yeah.
Like, I just want that. Like, 10 Things I Hate About You, like, How to Lose a Guy. Like, yeah. Oh, I want that love, and I want that yellow dress that she wears, too. But there was definitely a lot of complex themes of, like, independence and challenging societal norms in this era, too. And there was also kind of a little bit of an introduction of gender roles coming back into play, in a sense, too. So that's why there's this complexity between this, like, independence, but also certain individuals mm-hmm. wanting to kind of maintain their gender roles. Mm-hmm. But the late 90s is actually when Match.com first started. So Match.com started in 1995. So that was kind of the first official, like, online dating network. So you saw people in the late 90s kind of start to get into online dating. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of want to know your guys' opinions on the pacing in the 90s, because obviously we saw it be a lot slower, a little bit more intentional. Do you feel like it was better in the 90s or it's better now?
I don't know. I am not an expert of anything we're discussing today, but I feel like my understanding of the 90s, yeah, sure, it was slower, more intentional, but I feel like because people, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but because right. people were not getting married and stuff and getting to it, you know what that is.
Yeah, I understand.
I know of, like, a lot of people who are, like, similar age to me who have said, like, their parents had them at a pretty young age.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe not early 90s, but maybe, like, getting past 96 or something in mm-hmm. early 2000s is when a lot of these younger people were having kids.
Yeah.
So maybe they were intentional of getting together and being together,
mm-hmm.
but I've heard of a lot of mistakes come out of the 90s.
Okay, Zach, we're not going to call them mistakes. We're going to call them unexpected pleasures.
From God.
Yeah, a gift from God, an unexpected gift from God. With that being said, on the topic of God, our next song is by Shania Twain. It's called Any Man of Mine. It came out in 1995, and so we're going to jump straight into that, and we'll be back after.
Still better love me, and I can be late for a date, that's fine, but you better be on time. Any man of mine will say it fits just right when last year's dress is just a little too tight, and anything I do or say better be okay when I have a bad hair And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, looking better than me. And when I cook him dinner and I burn it black, he better say, I like it like that, yeah. And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah.
Montreal's Tiniest Festival is back for its fifth edition. Tiny Fest, presented by Worst Dad Ever and CGLO 1690 AM, is taking over Petit Ars, Casa del Popolo, La Sala Rosa, and La Sotraneo from October 2nd to 4th. Come on out to see your favorite bands from Montreal and beyond, such as Pool Girl, Gus Engelhorn, Clay Pigeon, HRT, and so many more. Festival passes and individual show tickets are available for purchase now. For more information, check out worst.ever on Facebook and worst.ever _ on Instagram. See you there.
Tune in to Eastern Promises every Sunday at 8 p.m. with me, Donald Robert, as I take you through the latest and greatest music from Atlantic Canada. Featuring everything from traditional fiddle music to hip-hop, jazz, metal, as well as Acadian and Indigenous sounds, Eastern Promises will take you on a journey from westernmost New Brunswick to the furthest edges of Newfoundland. I'll be bringing you music news, tour dates, and some down-home comfort for all you Montreal expats. Join me as I curate a playlist that showcases the extraordinary talent coming out of Canada's right coast since time immemorial. That's Eastern Promises, every Sunday at 8 p.m. here on CJLO 1690.
Hi, we're the Super Fantastics.
And you're listening to CJLO.
Hey! Woo!
All right, guys, we are back in the 2000s, which is, I think, all of our eras. Were we all born in 2002? No.
2004.
Oh, right. You're 2002, Zach, yeah. Right? Okay, great. So we're all 2000s babies. There was definitely a shift in social norms here, guys. Internet. The early internet adoption was happening. There was a big growing emphasis on individual choice, which led to a lot more casual dating, which I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Like, the whole friends with benefits relationship seemed to be very popular in the 2000s, and, like, increased cohabitation. But I feel like the media played a very big role, obviously, in the 2000s, right? They were, like, presenting this mix of fairy tale romances with, like, a dose of realism. I recently wrote this like piece on the blog for this show, and I entitled it something like, oh, what do you mean dating isn't like Disney said? Because I feel like Disney movies, they were like, oh, romance will just find you and your true love will kiss you and you'll wake up and everything will be fine. And that is BS. Because that does not happen, guys. They lied to us. But also concurrently, this was like when third wave feminism was happening. So we were beginning to push for like a much broader basis of gender equality. Although obviously traditional gender roles were, you know, still influencing dating and relationships as they do for some people now, we were definitely pushing for like that bigger break of things. But quickly before we get into our next song, I want to know your guys' opinion on like casual dating, friends with benefits, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Not for it. Okay.
I don't have any good words to say, so you go, Zach.
I don't practice it, but I'm not going to knock it. Like, people can do what they please, but long as it's not hurting anyone, and I don't think that casual sex and whatever does hurt people. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're consenting to it, but it's not something that I do or I'm interested in, and you know that already, but the listeners don't. But I do see what you're talking about, that has become a bigger thing, and I think beyond the 2000s, like 2025, it's still a thing, I think. But I also find that the more we advance as a society, the more things start to go back. I feel people are becoming more conservative. Whether it be in their ideology of politics or society, I do feel there's more people. Well, there's not more. I don't know the percentages, but I think there's definitely people that are probably hating on casual hookups and that, and like are disgusted by it, even if they're the same age as the person. Like 20-year-olds could be disgusted by that. But
no, absolutely. It's complicated. And with that, we're going to get into our next song, Complicated by Avril Lavigne. This song came out in 2002, so the year of our birth.
Not all of us, but okay.
Well, some of us.
Most of you.
So we're going to get into that right now.
She yelling for, lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see. I like you the way you are when we're driving in your car, and you're talking to me one on one, but you become somebody else round everyone else. You're watching your back like you can't. Yes!
dressed up like you're something else. Where you are and where it's at, you see, you're making me laugh out when you strike your pose. Take off all your preppy clothes. You know you're not fooling anyone when you become.
That was Complicated by Avril Lavigne. We're going to jump right into the 2010s. I don't know. That feels weird to say it like that, but that is how you say it, apparently. Definitely characterized by this kind of ubiquitous rise of dating apps and the emergence of new slang and dating trends like catfishing and ghosting and all of these lovely things that we're all so familiar with
my
today.
My two favorite shows on MTV.
Yeah, absolutely. Is ghosting a show on MTV?
There's something about being ghosted.
Okay. And there's this kind of continuous public fascination with celebrity relationships and marriage, which I think is kind of weird. Marriage rates were declining, singlehood was becoming much more acceptable, and the way that you met people changed so dramatically, obviously, with technology coming into play, right? Like, you're meeting people on apps, you're meeting people, like, on, I don't know, Instagram, anywhere. Like, social media. Yeah. Literally anywhere that you didn't have to socialize with someone in person was mm-hmm. very popular, which I don't think was a good thing. But, I mean, you know, it happened, so it is what it is. But a song that I really like from this era is actually, it's one of my mom's favorite songs. It's called Thinking Out Loud by Ed Sheeran. So we're going to jump right into that one. Then we will be back after.
Look like they used to before. And I can't sweep you off of your feet. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheeks? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. And baby, my heart could still fall as hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall in love with you every single day. And I just wanna tell you I am. So honey, now your head on my beating heart.
We're going to end off in the 2025 era, which is where we are now. And if you listened to the show last week, you'll know that my opinion of it is not amazing.
It's not the best.
No, it's not great at all. So I won't get too much into that one, but just know that I don't think it's good. And so our last song is by Sabrina Carpenter. It just came out this year in her new album, Man's Best Friend, and it is called Nobody's Son. So without further ado, we're going to jump into that, and I will see all of you guys next week for our third episode. Bye, guys.
You're great. I think it's time we took a break so I can grow emotionally. That's what he said to me.